Welcome to this Uvula Audio presentation of L. Frank Baum's Policeman Blue Jay. Volume 6, Chapter 20, The Battle. Twinkle and Chubbins flew slowly home to their nests on the maple tree, pausing to ask every bird they met where tingleberries grew. But none of them could tell.
"I'm sorry we didn't ask Policeman Blue Jay," said Chubbins.
"I intended to ask him, but we didn't have the time,"
replied Twinkle.
"But he'll be back tomorrow morning."
"I wonder what he's doing," remarked the boy.
"Don't know, Chub, but it'll be the right thing, whatever it is. You may be sure of that."
They visited the nest of the baby goldfinches and found Widow Chaffinch still caring for the orphans in her motherly way. The little ones seemed to be as hungry as ever, but the widow assured the lark children that all five had just been fed.
"Did you ever hear of a tingleberry?"
asked Twinkle.
"Oh my, yes, it seems to me I have heard of that berry,"
was the reply.
"If I remember rightly, my grandmother once told me of the tingleberries and warned me never to eat one. But I'm quite certain the things do not grow in our forest, for I've never seen one that I can recollect."
"Where do they grow then?" inquired Chubbins.
"I can't say exactly where, but if they're not in the forest, they must grow in the open country."
The child larks now returned to their own nest and sat snuggled up in it during the evening, talking over the day's experiences and the wonderful things they had seen in the fairy-like paradise of the birds. So much sightseeing had made them tired, so when it grew dark they fell fast asleep and did not awaken again until the sun was peeping up over the edge of the trees.
"Good gracious,"
exclaimed the girl.
"We're going to be late at the meeting at the judgment tree. Let's hurry, Chub."
They ate a hasty breakfast from the contents of their basket, and after flying to the brook for a drink and a dip in the cool water, they hurried toward the judgment tree. They found a vast assemblage of birds there. They were so numerous indeed that Twinkle was surprised to find so many of them inhabited the forest. But a still greater surprise was in store for her, for immediately she discovered, sitting upon the biggest branch of the tree, 22 blue jays all in a row. They were large, splendidly plumaged birds, with keen eyes and sharp bills, and at their head was the children's old friend, the policeman.
"These are my cousins," he said to the child larks proudly, "and I brought them from another forest where they live to assist me. I'm not afraid of the foolish rooks now, and in a moment we shall fly away to give them battle."
The forest birds were all in a flutter of delight at the prompt arrival of the powerful blue jays. And when the word of command was given, they all left the tree and flew swiftly to meet the rooks. First came the ranks of 22 blue jays, with a policeman at their head. Then followed many magpies and cuckoos, who were too clever to side with the naughty rooks when they saw the powerful birds the blue jay had summoned to his assistance. After these flew the smaller birds of all descriptions, and they were so many, and at the same time so angry, that they were likely to prove stubborn foes in a fight. This vast army came upon the rooks in an open space of the forest. Without waiting for any words or explanations from the rebels, the soldierly blue jays fell upon their enemies instantly, fighting fiercely with bill and claw, while the other birds fluttered in the rear, awaiting their time to join in the fray. Policeman Blue Jay singled out the rook who had stolen his helmet and club, and dashed upon him so furiously that the black rebel was amazed and proved an easy victim to the other's superior powers. He threw down the club and helmet at once, but the blue jay was not satisfied with that, and attacked the thief again and again, until the air was full of black feathers torn from the rook's body. The battle did not last long, for the rooks were soon screaming for mercy, and found themselves badly plucked and torn by the time their assailants finally decided they'd been punished enough. Like all blustering, evil-disposed people, when they found themselves conquered, they whined and humbled themselves before the victors and declared they would never again rebel against Policeman Blue Jay, who, as far as they were now concerned, was the regularly appointed guardian of the law of the forest. And I am told that after that day, the rooks, who are not rightly forest birds, betook themselves to the nearest villages and farmhouses, and contented themselves with plaguing mankind, who could not revenge themselves as easily as the birds did. After the fight, Policeman Blue Jay thanked his cousins and sent them home again, and then the birds all surrounded the policeman and cheered him gratefully for his cleverness and bravery, so that he was the hero of the hour. Judge Bullfinch tried to make a fine speech, but the birds were too excited to listen to his words, and he soon found himself without an audience. Of course, Twinkle and Chubbins took no part in the fight, but they had hovered in the background to watch it, and were therefore as proud of their friend as any of the forest birds could be. Chapter 21. The Tingleberries. When the excitement of the morning had subsided and the forest was quiet again, Policeman Blue Jay came to the nest of the Child Larks, wearing his official helmet and club. You can be sure that one of the first things that Twinkle asked him was if he knew where tingleberries grow.
Of course. They grow over at the north edge of the forest, in the open country. But you must never eat them, my dear friends, because they're very bad for birds.
But the royal necromancer of the king bird of paradise says the tingleberries will restore us to our proper forms,
explained the girl. Oh, did he say that? Then he probably knows, said the blue jay. And I'll help you find the berries. We birds always avoid them, for they give us severe pains in our stomachs.
That's bad, observed Chubbins uneasily.
Well, I'd be willing to have a pain or two just to be myself again, said Twinkle.
So would I, if it comes to that, agreed the boy. But I'd rather have found a way to be myself without getting the pain.
Well, there's usually but one thing that'll overcome an enchantment, remarked the blue jay seriously. And if it is a tingleberry that will destroy the charm that the old tussocks put upon you, then nothing else'll answer the same purpose. That royal necromancer is very wise, and you may depend upon what he says. But it's late at this season for tingleberries. They don't grow at all times of the year, and we may not be able to find any upon the bushes.
So can't we go at once and find out?
Asked Twinkle anxiously.
To be sure. It'll grieve me to lose you, my little friends, but I want to do what will give you the most happiness. Come on, then. Come with me.
They flew away through the forest, and by and by came upon the open country to the north, leaving all the trees behind them.
Why, this is the place we entered the forest that day we got enchanted, cried Twinkle.
So it is, said Chubbins. I believe we could find our way home from here, Twink.
But we can't go home like we are,
replied the girl lark.
What would our folks say to find us in bird bodies?
Well, they'd probably yell and run, declared the boy.
Well, then we have to find some tingleberries, she said.
The blue jay flew with them to some bushes, which he said were the kind the tingleberries grew upon. But all were bare, and not a single berry could be found.
There must be more not far away, said the policeman encouragingly. Let's look around.
They found several clumps of bushes, to be sure, but unfortunately no berries were now growing upon them, and at each failure the children grew more and more sad and despondent.
If we have to wait until the bushes bear again,
Twinkle remarked,
it'll be nearly a year, and I'm sure we can't live in the forest all winter.
Well, why not? Asked the policeman.
The food in our basket would be gone, and then we'd starve to death. We can't eat bugs and worms, you know.
I'd rather die, declared Chubbins mournfully.
The blue jay became more thoughtful.
If we could find some tingle bushes growing near the shade of the forest, there might still be some berries remaining on them. Out here in the bright sunshine, the berries soon wither and drop off and disappear.
Well, then let's look near the trees,
suggested Twinkle. They searched for a long time unsuccessfully. It was growing late, and they were almost in despair, when a sharp cry from Policeman Blue Jay drew the Child Larks to his side.
What is it?
Inquired the girl, trembling with nervous excitement.
Why, here is a bush at last, and on it are exactly 2 ripe tingleberries, said the policeman triumphantly. Chapter 22. The Transformation. They looked earnestly at the bush and saw that their friend spoke truly. Upon a high limb was 1 plump red berry, looking much like a cranberry, while lower down grew another but smaller berry, which appeared to be partially withered.
Great!
The lark children cried joyfully. And the next moment Chubbins added,
You eat the big berry, Twink.
Why?
She asked hesitatingly. It looks as if it has more stomach ache in it, he replied.
I'm not afraid of that,
said the girl.
But do you suppose the little berry will be enough for you? One side of it is withered, you see.
I don't think that matters, returned the boy lark. The royal necromancer said to eat 1 berry. He didn't say whether it should be big or little, or whether it should be plump or withered.
That's true. Shall I eat mine now?
Said the girl lark.
The sooner the better, Chubbins replied. Don't forget me, little friends, when you're human again, said Policeman Bluejay sadly.
I'll never forget you,
Twinkle answered,
nor any part of all your kindness to us. We shall be friends forever.
That seemed to please the handsome Bluejay, and Twinkle was so eager that she could not wait to say more. She plucked the big plump berry, put it in her mouth with her little claw, and ate it as soon as possible. In a moment she said,
Ouch! Oh!
But it didn't hurt so badly after all. Her form quickly changed and grew larger. While Chubbins and Policeman Bluejay watched her anxiously, she became a girl again, and the bird's body, with its soft gray feathers, completely disappeared. As she felt herself changing, she called,
Goodbye!
To the Bluejay. But even then, he could hardly understand her words.
Goodbye,
he answered. But to Twinkle's ears, it sounded like,
How did that feel?
Asked Chubbins, but she looked at him queerly as if his language was strange to her and seemed half frightened.
Guess I'll have to eat the berry,
he said with a laugh, and proceeded to pluck and eat it as Twinkle had done. He yelled once or twice at the cramp the fruit gave him, but as soon as the pain ceased, he began to grow and change in the same way his little comrade had, but not entirely, for although he got his human body and legs back again to their natural size, his wings remained as they were, and it startled him to find that the magic power had passed, and he was still partly a bird.
"What's the matter?"
asked Twinkle.
"Is there anything wrong?"
inquired the Blue Jay. The boy understood them both, although they could not now understand each other, and he said to Twinkle,
"I guess the berry wasn't quite big enough."
Then he repeated the same thing in bird language to Policeman Blue Jay, and it sounded to Twinkle like,
Well, what in the world are we going to do?
Asked the girl, quite distressed.
It'll be just dreadful if you have to stay like that.
The tears came to Chubbins' eyes. He tried to restrain them, but could not. He flapped his little wings dolefully and said,
I wish I was either one or the other. I'd rather be a child lark again and nest in a tree than go home to the folks in this way.
Policeman Bluejay had seen his dilemma at the first, and his sharp eyes had been roving all over the bushes that were in the range of his vision. Suddenly he uttered a chirp of delight and dashed away speedily, returning with another tingleberry in his bill.
"It's the very last one that's here," he said to Chubbins.
"But it's all that I want,"
cried the boy, brightening at once. And then, regardless of any pain, he ate the berry as greedily as if he was fond of a stomachache. The second berry had a good effect in one way, for Chubbins' wings quickly became arms, and he was now as perfectly formed as he had been before he met with the cruel tussocks. But he gave a groan every once in a while, and Twinkle suspected that 2 berries were twice as powerful as 1, and made a pain that lasted twice as long. As the boy and the girl looked around, they were astonished to find their basket standing on the ground beside them. On a limb of the first tree of the forest, sat silently regarding them a big blue bird that they knew must be Policeman Bluejay, although somehow or other he had lost his glossy black helmet and the club he carried underneath his wing.
It's almost dark,
said Twinkle, yawning.
Let's go home, Chub. All right.
He picked up the basket, and for a few minutes they walked along in silence. Then the boy asked,
Don't your legs feel heavy, Twink?
Yes. Do yours?
She said.
Awful heavy, he said.
The end.
We hope that you've enjoyed this Uvula audio presentation of Policeman Blue Jay by L. Frank Baum. Your narrator has been James Campanella. The classic opening theme was The Teddy Bear's Picnic from 1907, written by Walter Bratton. The closing theme was the jazz classic Birdland by Maynard Ferguson. We started the first couple of episodes with Ferguson's actual jazz orchestra rendition, but we changed to a MIDI version when we decided that that was just too overwhelming. The singing flowers in the story sang In the Golden Afternoon, written and composed by Sammy Fain and Bob Hilliard. Some of you may remember the song from the singing flowers in Alice in Wonderland. All bird calls and songs were accurate and were recordings that came from the Cornell University Ornithology Laboratory website. L. Frank Baum, who loved the natural world, would have been proud. Please feel free to write us and tell us what you think at uvulaaudio@uvulaaudio.com. You can also become a Facebook fan of Uvula Audio. Just do a search for Uvula Audio on Facebook or do it from the main Uvula Audio webpage. As usual, check out our Cafe Press website for t-shirts, etc. For other Uvula Audio titles, please go to our website at www.uvulaaudio.com. We are listed on iTunes and you can subscribe and download our podcasts for free from there. If you like our podcasts, please feel free to tip us whatever amount you may like using the secure PayPal links at uvulaaudio.com. Uvula Audio will next be presenting the final book in P.G. Wodehouse's Bertie and Jeeves series, Aunts Are Not Gentlemen. This novel was among the last books that Wodehouse wrote in his life. You should expect the usual level of insanity from both Bertie and Jeeves, perhaps even a little bit more, because it was, after all, the last hurrah. From all of us at Uvula Audio, we thank you.